Hi, this is Ava from Vanta. In today's digital world, compliance regulations are changing constantly, and earning customer trust has never mattered more. Vanta helps companies get compliant fast and stay secure with the most advanced AI automation and continuous monitoring out there. So whether you're a startup going for your first SOC 2 or ISO 27001, or a growing enterprise managing vendor risk, Vanta makes it quick, easy, and scalable. And I'm not just saying that because I work here. Get started today at Vanta.com.
One thing we've realized through this is I think that shock is an armor. It had me get on with my team right away and go, you know what? Your worth doesn't disappear because your job did. The shock of it was like, for me, led to like ownership.
I just wanted everything in one place. When you're as discombobulated as you are after you've been fired, to not have things made easy for you, you know, it just adds unnecessary layers. It's gotten a lot worse out there. And so, you know, the hope is that this book will make it a lot better for people who are entering into that sort of uncertain period that we went through.
Hey, I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at Entrepreneur.com, and welcome to How Success Happens, the show where I get to talk to people who have done extraordinary things and sometimes yield great results and sometimes get the rug pulled right out from under their feet. Today's guests are Laura Brown, who is the editor-in-chief of InStyle magazine, until she wasn't, and Christina O'Neill, who was editor-in-chief of WSJ magazine until she, quote-unquote, stepped down in 2023. So for those listening, I'm making some air quotes here because, as they put it very bluntly in their incredible book, All the Cool Girls Get Fired, they were, quote, shit canned. Those are their words, not mine.
Hey, make them your words, baby. Make them your words.
So they both moved on to do some incredible things, which we will get to. But they wrote this awesome book that will help us all get through stressful times should we experience them and embrace the unexpected benefits that come with a career setback. So welcome, Laura and Christina.
That was dazzling. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like it. We're like, can we have both the great things and also the rug pulled and also the shit can? Women, can't we have it all?
Anyway, is that that's what the book's about, right?
Yeah.
I was promised that in the end, I will have everything.
Yeah, that's right.
You're making that guarantee?
We signed. Oh, yeah. We gave you that on a DocuSign earlier.
Yeah. So, well, what a great treat to talk to both of you. I am a magazine veteran. I've lived through my share of ups and downs in that world. So great to talk to you. Great to talk to someone who's not creating an AI that is trying to put me out of a job in a minute. So that's great. But let's talk about this book and why you decided to write it and all the great things in it. So it's very timely. We keep hearing about layoffs. Just today, WSJ had a round of layoffs. what made you want to write this book? How did the whole thing start? As we've seen on this show, all kinds of people can find success. Did you know that 34% of tech professionals don't have a bachelor's degree? Skills First Hiring isn't just inclusive. It is the smart strategy to expand your tech talent pipeline. And finding the right tech talent isn't just hard, it's mission critical. And yet many enterprise employers still rely on outdated methods or platforms that just don't deliver. In today's market, hiring tech professionals isn't just about filling roles, it's about outpacing competitors. But with niche skills, hybrid preferences, and high salary expectations, it's never been more challenging to cut through the noise and connect with the right people. And that's where Indeed comes in. Indeed isn't just a job board, it is your tech hiring partner. As the number one site where tech talent applies to jobs, Indeed gives you direct access to over 3 million U.S. tech professionals, 86% of whom have applied through the platform. So post your first job and get $75 off at Indeed.com/tech talent. That's Indeed.com/tech talent to claim this offer. Indeed, built for what's now and what's next in tech hiring.
300 sensors, over 1 million data points per second. How does F1 update their fans with every stat in real time? AWS is how. From fastest laps to strategy calls, AWS puts fans in the pit. It's not just racing, it's data-driven innovation at 200 miles per hour. AWS is how leading businesses power next-level innovation.
Well, we got fired.
Ah, right.
So,
right there
you really
in the title.
Want to go back to the beginning.
Touché.
But the genesis for the book came from actually an Instagram post that Laura put up not long after I had been fired, which was about 14 months after she had been fired. And we went out for a drink. And on the way to said drink, she said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to post an Instagram picture where we look really cute. And we're going to say all the cool girls get fired. And we did. And the response was so instant and overwhelming that the next day I called her and I said, this is a book.
Really? Oh, okay. Yep. So was that instantaneous? That's cool.
Yeah, it was like ultimate consumer feedback. No, it was just because we just was so straightforward. It was very subversive, I guess, you know, in how women
no one said the word
approach
fired.
Work. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we'd realized by that post and by the, you know, the reactions that were coming in that we'd cracked open a psychological door, you know. Oh, wow. That is said, oh God. Oh, legends. Oh, actually, that sort of happened to me. Oh, and just seeing this sort of, you know, it's almost like that, you know, that meme of the woman with all the equations behind her, like people's brains just going, oh, they've just said this. And we knew even immediately from that first response that this had some real value, and the value was going to lie well beyond the comment section of Instagram and in this book.
But we also knew that this was the book that we needed at the time. And for all of our, you know, success and, you know, the lovely, you know, packet of papers they pushed at us on our way out, there was so much we didn't know. We really spent way too much time researching and compiling information that wasn't just like consolidated in one place. It was super frustrating pinging between, you know, the government websites, Googling, you know, COBRA, trying to figure out which healthcare plan, did we need a lawyer, how much, you know, unemployment could we have potentially been, you know, entitled to. And, you know, it's state by state in this lovely country we live in. So, you know, it was just a lot of information, misinformation, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I just wanted everything in one place. Like I, you know, when you're as discombobulated as you are after you've been fired, to not have things made easy for you.
Yeah.
You know, it just adds unnecessary layers. So, you know, this goes back to us wanting to create, you know, we're magazine editors. We wanted to create the resource that didn't exist for us. And, you know, like you said, here we are 2 years later. My former workplace is still, you know, going through it. It's gotten a lot worse out there. And so, you know, the hope is that this book will make it a lot better for people who are, you know, entering into that sort of uncertain period that we went through.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's, I mean, that word, when you first learn that word COBRA, you're like, what? And then
we say, all caps COBRA. Yeah. It's not even just COBRA, like the snake. It's like,
yeah, and we say
all
it's not
caps,
a,
it's screaming at you.
And it's like, it's not a snake. We say it's not a snake, but it still bites.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. that's great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you write about so many aspects of it. We'll get into
that's
some
my door.
Of,
hold on, Dan.
Okay, no problem.
Oh, you she can talk. Hold on. Okay.
Laura has recused herself from this interview. She wants no part of it.
We're only 9 minutes in and she's already exited the...
Sorry, that wasn't even the messenger that I wanted, so there's going to be another one. Go on. Okay. Sorry. My husband had to leave right now. Anyway, sorry.
No problem.
Hello.
So, all right. So, let's talk about, you know, the book, you outline a lot of like very practical things that everyone should know, which I think is great. And we'll get into, But maybe we could start just with that sort of like the mental aspects of it, the kick in the teeth of it, the numbness you feel when someone goes, "Hey, do you have a sec?" and pulls you into an office, and you realize that's the last time you're going to be in that office.
Or the old my personal favorite, which actually we've been talking about this a bit, but the all hands meeting, which actually sounds like a jolly thing. All hands meeting, you're always getting fired.
Right.
All hands, yes. Showing you the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about like that, that kind of what you've learned speaking to people? You guys spoke to so many people who have been through similar situations, like what you've learned about recovering from that kind of shock phase of things. Is there a quick fix or is it just like you just need some time?
Yeah, you just need to, you know, time heals all, but I got to say, you know, I know we're an amateur psychologist now, but like one thing we've realized through this is I think that shock is an armor. Shock in the first instance can actually protect you, it had me get on with my team right away and go, you know what, your worth doesn't disappear because your job did. And I did all of these, you know, I was so set on like, you know, you own what your experience, don't let these people take it from you, which is the whole thesis of the book, right? So the shock of it was like, for me, led to like ownership and like, no, F that. You know what I mean? This happened to me. And so I think that the shock in the first instance, I mean, I went to a big event the day after I got fired. Christina went to an event recently after she got fired too. And in that sort of phase, it's not the worst actually. You know, and then then there's a sink in of, oh, my salary ends there, or my health insurance ends there. And I think everyone, and that it's those moments that you, you know, can knock you off your feet a little bit, or your habit is broken. The place you used to go to, the bar you used to go to, it's like a breakup. You know what I mean? And a lot of the things you attach to in your job.
Yeah, I never knew how much I'd miss a shitty Midtown sandwich.
Exactly. But yeah, they're all rituals that you attach to, whether or not you really did enjoy them. You know what I mean? So when you sort of take a beat to do that. So I think that, once the shock's dissipated, you can, and we say this, wallow a bit. It's all right. Don't wallow forever. Like rest, but don't retreat. You know what I mean? You can have the wine and the cookie and the chips and the all in, you know, as many snacks as possible in every hand. Absolutely do that. Absolutely indulge that. But don't do it forever. And I think it's like having, you know, a pilot light on or a periscope up when you're on the couch. You know, you will be any industry you're in, especially if you've admitted that you've been fired, people will reach out to you if you've done good work and you've been a nice person. So calibrate yourself, go back to those people, you know, but you got to listen to your own rhythms. Some people get completely let out. Some people, and the hope of this book is that they don't get completely let out anymore, you know, but listen to yourself and communicate in a way that gives you comfort, and go and have one coffee. And if that's enough for the week and that's too much, do that. You know, and again, look, and this also depends on your financial situation. Breaking news, some people got to take a job right away. But, you know, in any sphere of life, you know, listen to yourself and what you can manage to get back into the game. And if you feel that you're forcing things and you don't feel comfortable, listen to that too.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that I really connected with is just that whole that sense of identity that you have with your job, particularly if you've been there for a long time, you sort of like think of yourself as part of this brand. And then it's also like this sort of kick in the teeth, like, oh, this thing isn't going to blow up without me. Like it did, like it's not me, you know? So that's a little bit of a mental reckoning that you need to do.
I got to say, we were fortunate in the extremely challenged magazine, or some would say dying in some places. And like, I think, you know, yes, one always attaches their value to some degree, but at least for me personally, it was like I'd been gone through three different owners, you know, like it was like I thankfully knew that I was bringing as much to the magazine as it brought to me, and that was a real insurance. But that also comes from, like I was saying earlier, knowing what you bring and reminding yourself of your, you know, we're going on 30 years of experience in what we do, and that always comes with us in whatever role, you know, we've been. And I think that's very helpful. But Christina was, you know, in some way where she would have stayed forever.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't see it coming.
And so what did you find? So you you know, you go through this shock phase and now you start to come out of it a little bit. What did you find, or what do you advise people? Like, what's a good sort of like picking yourself back up first step? What have you found to be a good first step?
Yeah, I mean, we advise doing the toe dip, you know, sort of starting small, starting maybe with things that are slightly more familiar before you, you know, sort of run to the things that are unknown. But I was surprised by how many non sort of like linear things came my way. Like, you know, people reaching out from industries that I would have never thought I would have made sense in. And that was an interesting kind of layer to it all. And those were conversations that I sort of had after talking to the sort of, you know, the obvious like connections, you know, and in the end, I now work at Sotheby's. I work for an auction house. And I think that just shows how transferable some skills are. And, you know, seeing around a corner that, you know, hadn't been there, you know, a couple months before. And now suddenly I'm like, oh, right. Like, yeah, this, there are parallel things to what I did in my old job that I can bring to this new job. And so that was really, you know, reassuring. But I think to get back out there, you know, you do have to start small and, you know, maybe start with having conversations. You have to be able to talk about it. And that takes some conditioning. You know, you don't want every meeting to be, you know, you don't want to burst into tears or you don't want to come off bitter. You know, there's a lot of processing that you have to do. You know what I mean?
Hi, guys.
but seriously, like, it is triggering talking about it. And
yeah.
I think, you know, that's why we're so blunt about calling it what it is.
Yeah.
Say you've been fired. You know, you weren't embezzling, like your industry's changing. Like,
right.
I was so much. Well, Laura's
yeah.
Face.
Laura keeps talking about this mysterious delivery that's coming.
Can I actually, it's literally a shopping bag full of
drugs. Hang on. She's actually pivoted to drug lording over there.
I mean, there's money in that, guys. No, can I share a favorite bit of advice? And just that sort of getting yourself back into the game thing, one of the best bits of advice, because we interviewed a whole bunch of experts, really tactical, you know, experts in their fields. And when it came to like, going back into the workforce and interviewing, one of them said, so say if there's like three jobs like you're going for and one of them is your dream, right? And the other two are fine. If you have any ability to control this schedule, go for the fine before the dream. So you can sort of get it's like you're putting your toe in a hot bath, right?
Right.
You haven't done this for a while. So you can kind of get your mojo a bit and practice a little bit before the dream one. So I thought that was so, because you've been smacked on the head by an anvil, you know what I mean? That's what has happened when
your confidence is rocked.
Yeah. So you need to get it back through sort of practice and engagement and taking meetings. And then when you go for those interviews that you can stand up a little bit taller.
That's great. And so as you mentioned just there, I mean, you talked to Oprah, Oprah Winfrey. Sorry, if
Oprah Winfrey.
We're confused.
Yeah, not her. Not the more Oprah, famous Oprah Smith.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis, Katie Couric, Lisa Kudrow, Carol Burnett. That's just amazing in itself. But and who all told you these stories about things that didn't go their way and how they got through it? So first of all, like, is it easy to get people to tell these sort of like not very fun stories? No, they're both shaking their heads.
No, I think that, you know, we had to sort of poke about, you know, to find that some was part of their legend in a way, but it hadn't been expanded on. Like Carol Burnett got fired from a theater and then 25 years later put her Hollywood star in front of it. Like that was sort of known. We knew a bit about Oprah, like, hang on, wasn't she fired? But we had to sort of dig into a wiki and a couple of other things to find that. And others were sort of word of mouth. Tarana is a friend of mine because we sit on the Me Too board together. And she was like, oh no, I was fired. I was fired from this arts organization in Philly. So we had the Missonis, Angela and Margarita Missoni literally said, hey, we were fired in the comments section of like our first post. So
oh, wow.
There was some like flagrant, like actually, yeah, honey, that happened to me. And yeah. Others where we sort of had to sort of get at. And there were a good amount of women who we approached who we knew had been fired, that passed and didn't want to admit it. So we're certainly hoping maybe this book coming out, they'll be like,
yeah,
okay, yeah, I was, you know. God, why carry it? You know,
what were any of their stories? Did any of them really just like shake you? Were any of them like really surprising? I mean, the Carol Burnett one is it's funny. I mean, she's a funny person. It wasn't funny for her getting fired, but she didn't want to let someone into a movie before the surprise ending of a Hitchcock movie was coming out, and she got fired. But you know, did any of those stories really stick with you?
Yeah. Lindsay Colas, who's the sports agent, tells about she represents athletes, a lot of female athletes in, you know, all sports. But she was the agent of Brittany Griner, who was, you know, detained in Russia. And she mounted a, you know, very, incredible sort of both kind of, you know, international political campaign, but also a media campaign to keep her, you know, front of mind and her story out there. And so obviously that was, you know, time consuming.
Yeah.
And she had other clients. And the story that really struck me was the day after Brittany came home, another client called her, and she assumed that she was calling to say, hey, amazing job, congratulations. And instead the client said, I don't feel like you've been paying enough attention to me. I am going to part ways.
Whoa.
And that to me, I'm like, don't you want the agent who like can get you out of jail in Russia?
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. But you know,
that's the gratitude.
Me. Yeah.
Where's the attitude of gratitude?
Wow. That was a real stunner. I thought Lisa Kudrow's story just showed how much courage it takes to come back from getting fired, especially as an actor. And we do speak to a few actresses, like you said, Carol and Jamie Lee. And in Lisa Kudrow's case, she was fired by James Burrows, who was the showrunner of Frasier. She had been cast. They were doing a table read. It was all happening. And he felt like she was just not the part and that it wasn't gelling. So she was fired. And then not long after, she got the call to come audition for Friends. And guess who was doing the casting? Well, it was Jimmy Burrows again. So it was the same guy who fired her, who hired her. And I think that just sort of shows you can't go scorched earth. You can't, you know, it is circumstantial in almost every case. It's somehow beyond you.
Yeah. And there's fate. And, often fate is involved. And no, I think that it's quite extraordinary of people. Like for me, I mean, I love Carol's because I love the old fashionedness of Carol's. I love that it was like, what made you feel better during the dark times? And she was like, I used to watch these, you know, Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, movies. And they, you know, when the chips were down, they'd just put on a show. And it was just so sweet and kind of pure and incredible. And secondly, Tarana Burke, founder of Me Too, she was working at this arts organization in Philly. She lost her job and that job, she was freaked out for a year. She was, you know, didn't have money. She ended up getting a lifeline from Ava DuVernay, who hired her to consult on, Selma, sorry. But that break and that money allowed her to focus on Me Too. And Me Too wouldn't exist if Tarana wasn't fired.
One of the things that really stuck with me was the total recall every single woman we interviewed had about the moment she was fired. So in some of these instances, like Carol Burnett, you know, she was a young lass and Oprah was over 50 years ago. And these are things that you would think might have sort of softened with time. And almost every single woman could put herself back in the room where it happened. And that was so revealing because as much as time does heal all, it is a shocking, you know, devastating moment for so many people. And even if, you know, you can say with absolute certainty that it is, you know, the best thing that ever happened to you and it does get you to the other side, it is a moment in your life when, you know, you're completely knocked off balance.
Right. And I think, you know, I think most of us know because you go through it more than once and you understand that almost every single time something better is waiting for you. You know, I got laid off from one job and I went to my next one, and that's where I met my wife. You know, like,
oh,
you know,
come
so
on,
there's
now.
Stuff amazing. Like that. So
there is. You don't want to hear it at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, no. It's going to be the best
it's
thing.
So annoying like, to say that.
Just and, say that know, the show's Laura Brown punching someone. But yeah, it's you don't want to hear it, but they're quite often right.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, a friend who was unemployed for a while, and he'd be walking around town and just like, oh, this sucks. It sucks. And then he got a job. And then a week later, he's like, oh, God, I wish I could just like walk around town again. You know, like you wish you could appreciate that time you have
in
when
between,
you have it,
whatever in between can't. Time you do have. And, yeah. You know, people have different amounts of it. And breaking news, it's if you have more resources, you can have more time. Right. But even like whatever that is, yeah, you don't when you're in the sort of panic, it's hard to appreciate it. But if you know, if you're calibrated and set up in some way to have some time, like what a blessing that can be.
So let's talk about your, we mentioned that you've done some pretty cool stuff after these not so cool moments. and you went in sort of different paths. Like Laura, you started your own thing. Christina, you launched, did you launch the magazine or you're the editor-in-chief of the magazine, Sotheby's?
I relaunched it.
You relaunched it, yeah. So you went to another kind of established brand, and Laura, you started your own thing. So what was some of the decision making that went into that?
For me, I was like, oh my God, I was like Scarlett O'Hara, but like, as God is my witness, I'll never work for anybody again. Like I sort of actually knew that while my corset was being tight. No, I knew that in 2020 kind of, cause I'd registered my own business then weirdly. I'd gone on LegalZoom and gotten my little LLC, and then I'd gone on GoDaddy and set up my email, and I'd known that I was a bit tired. We went through three different owners at InStyle as well, and I was just very tired of some of the vacillations of our business and having my day, my mood, my life controlled by a bunch of like overlords, you know what I mean? So like that was, I just sort of had enough of that. So I knew I was thinking of going to work for myself, taking my leave at the end of the year. Did not think we were all going to get canned, you know, that February. So the knowledge of that was sort of all I really had at the time. And then I was in a different situation because I was getting married 2 months later. So I was like, it was a lovely distraction, but it was also like, how do I money after wedding? Where is, you know? Yeah. And so, but I sort of sat with it for a bit and I knew that I had enough kind of LB juice, as I call it, you know, to do that. And then I wait, and then people would start to call me, and it could be a fashion brand, could be a nonprofit. I run a council now for Red, and all these sort of diverse things that called me because of who I was and what I brought and all the experience that I brought through sort of fashion and entertainment into their worlds. And it just has become so much more interesting and rewarding to get out of this sort of silo, which we're still, we're still very much in, and Christina's very much in, but like, and use those skills to work within the bigger, wider world. I really enjoyed that, which I guess is funny. It is entrepreneurial. And then oddly enough, this book, and Christina and I were, you know, regular employees who had an employer. We always had jobs this whole time, and Christina still does, but this is the most entrepreneurial thing either one of us have ever done. Mm. And it's been hugely rewarding and hopefully is going to, you know, take on another life of its own. So it's taken up a lot of my time too, and Christina's. And she's got a job. She got a job.
Yeah. So Christina, how did you, work the book into, you know, the not so easy task of relaunching a magazine?
Yeah, well, the good news was we had sold the book before I took the job at Sotheby's, before I started the job at Sotheby's. So a lot of that like groundwork had been done. And then Laura and I worked in a way where, you know, it was a lot of nights and weekends, took some vacation where we were able to just sort of like carve out time sitting at a kitchen table, you know, just sort of banging through it. And I think the writing process, you know, is so solitary, and you are able to, you know, kind of do that in odd hours. So, you know, that's the sort of like luxury of putting a book together.
So you touch on something I want to ask, which is time and energy. So, something that everyone wishes they had more of.
What are these things?
How did you, like, you know, just expanding on that a little bit, you know, the kitchen table scenario that everyone is so familiar with, how did you make set times, or is it kind of like stealing 10 minutes here and there, or a combination of those things?
And we have different schedules because I didn't have to, like, I mean, not that Christina, she doesn't have to sit in the office from 9 to 5, 5 days a week, but she has an office to go to and I don't, you know? So I think that, the best way to sort of describe how we did this book was, like, I came up with this crazy big Instagram headline, you know what I mean? And Christina said, this is a book. And so it's sort of like, I'm like the billboard and Christina was the packager, is the packager. So, you know, I would sit, sometimes I would have the time to sit at home for 6 hours and bang out a chapter while loudly announcing that I was writing a book. I really thought that was key. And, you know, and then Christina would come in and be like, you know, I think that this needs some exposition of something here, or da 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 da, or like adding, because we basically all wrote our own parts. We interviewed all the women together. So we have to, like, that was the biggest thinking of the schedules, was like, okay, we're going to talk to Oprah and Sally Korchek today. You know what I mean? So we're having to get that done, and we would split all of that up, all the transcribing and stuff. So it just, but it works, like the way we wrote the book is kind of the way we do everything. Like if one of us is caught up, you know, and there's a bunch of correspondence to get through, the other one will just do it. And we're not asking the other one if they think it's okay. You know, we just trust each other. So we're always kind of pushing and pulling depending on which way the rubber band's going, basically.
Do you have any recommendations? You seem to have a pretty solid partnership. Mm. Any recommendations for people to have a solid partnership and not butt heads?
I mean, I think it's really important to meet at a fashion show in September 2001. I think that really, really bonds a girl. If you haven't done that,
we were in the trenches together at Harper's Bazaar for 8 years, you know, so we really had a shorthand that we were able to kind of hop into this and just go.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that basically we sold the book right before Christmas and I started my new job at Sotheby's in January, meant that, you know, there wasn't time to overthink it.
Yeah.
To deliver this thing on time, like, we had to just go.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I think if you are in a partnership, it is really important. You know, it's a 50-50 partnership. We have, you know, a little, like, working, you know, agreement.
Oh, yeah, we made a contract that we haven't even looked at.
Yeah, but I think it was just important for us to sort of, you know, say, you know, if
we're showing up.
Because there are a lot of layers to this, and you know that no one's going to let the other one down.
Yeah. It's good to be clear on that. Like, I'm a big fan of removing ambiguity anyway. Mm. But, you know, if you are launching a business or a creative endeavor with someone, and it seems sort of like, oh, we don't need that. And again, we didn't end up needing it, you know, but the ritual of sort of doing that thing.
I haven't had to sue her really, yet. But
she's seconds away. Seconds away.
I she really hit that yet pretty hard when she said that.
Yeah, I know. Did you see the panic in my eyes?
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, well, let's you guys have had a long week and I hope you're ready for this, but this is the speed round.
Ooh.
So
I remember speed also and time. What was the other one? Energy, go. Time, energy, and speed. Whoa, that's right. That's a concept. Yes,
right,
go.
So who's the better? Who's better at the keyboard? Who's the faster typer?
Laura.
Me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I am quick, aren't I? I'm like a bit of a freak machine.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like the queen of overthinking it.
Pick a magazine and a time frame to instantly install yourself as editor in chief.
Ooh.
Oh, Harper's Bazaar. 19, Liz Tilberis era. I don't know the exact dates, but late 90s.
Yeah, I'd go because she's already taken Bazaar. I'll take Vogue because I'm humble.
Okay. Move over, Anna. All right.
She won't. God love her.
All right. I'm going to give you the power to lay off one trend in life or on social media permanently, not lay off, fire.
Fire.
I mean, I would say let's fire the fact that people don't call it getting fired, right? No. I mean, I think what we were really trying to do with this book is change the conversation and, you know, create a baseline where the sooner women can identify what happened to them and stop like lying and carrying the shame and all the bullshit that, you know, could come with it if you let it. I'd love to fire that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, I would say yes in the grand scheme, but I think in the more petty minor scheme of social media, I would say the idea of influencers who don't actually represent anything, any school of thought, belief, or something that is made. It's just like, oh, this person's paying me, I'm wearing this, I'm doing this, and it's always like, who are you? Right. So I would like to fire that and have people show up as themselves. And of course, you're still going to be your cutest self or your most well-traveled self, but still be yourself.
Love it. What do you guys do to turn off your brain, or can you? Is that
possible? Turn off my phone.
Turn off your phone. Okay.
What do you have? You'd have a glass of wine and turn off your phone. When do you ever turn off your phone?
No, but I try to leave it in another
room.
Sleep.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I will like, I try. I don't know. Go to Pilates, have a glass of wine.
At the same time?
Yes.
Yeah, she's. That's how skilled she is. That's how skilled.
Wino Pilates.
Wino Pilates.
Oh my God! There's your next book.
I would for the next 7 months. I can say I tend to just flop in front of Stephen Colbert, and eat a piece of cheese or have a glass of wine or whatever, and just kind of stare at it. And he just has that way of making your day better and aggregating and giving it that humor. But you don't have to really think.
That's great.
So say a bit of zombie watching, but actually zombie watching smart TV.
There you go. Watch someone else be smart for a change.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. So you've both worked in fashion, which is by definition glamorous. So you got to tell us the last time you were in a place or setting sitting next to someone where you had like a holy shit, how did I get here moment, and name dropping is required here. I want to hear about yachts, private jets, something.
I mean, the last time or maybe.
I know what you're going to say. We're probably going to say the same thing.
You go first.
Like, are we going to say the same word at the same time?
I don't know Oprah? What you're going to say. I don't have
Oprah. I'm going to say Oprah.
Oh, Oprah. Yeah, of course.
Oh, Oprah.
But
sorry.
Like in fashion, so that's like, I mean, Oprah. Oprah's like a life, like not getting, to do with. Yeah.
No, but okay, this is a through line here. So we, between. So I was going to say the three of us. There's two of us in this book. We've done three stories or covers with Oprah. I did two. Christina did one over the course of from 2012 onward to here. So we'd photographed her for covers, met her, which was already like goals, and sat down and talked to her and everything else. And then she agreed to be in this book. So we interviewed her, and then we went and did a podcast to her, you know, Versailles and Montecito home. And it was just a wild culmination of those things where – when you're starting out in fashion or celebrity or whatever it is, and everything to you seems like it's Oz, you know, and it all has the sheen and the shine, and some of that, a good amount of that becomes removed the deeper you get into it, but there's still things obviously you appreciate. But sort of being able to spend time with Oprah we're not Oprah, but this sort of peer-to-peer level, like she's interested in what you've made and she's talking to you about something you've created. It's not just that she's showing up to a party you're at. I think that goes through the whole arc of like, I met this Oprah one time, and then I met her another time, and then we met her in this way, you know? And I think that was extremely edifying, because we ended up engaging with her as adults who'd created something that she was interested in.
Are her walls wallpapered in cashmere?
I expect so. We didn't go inside, but the roses are perfect. And they smell like the dreams of a baby. Mm-hmm.
The dreams of a baby. Well, I think that's a pretty good note to end on. I don't know. Yes.
Whoa.
Well, the book is out now. It is called All the Cool Girls Get Fired, which, what an awesome title. It's funny. And you instantly understand it. You guys should write a book, because you're good at the words.
Thank you. We might do that. We'll
all
let
right.
you know.
And so how can people can buy this book, obviously, everywhere. How can they kind of keep up with what you're doing independently and together?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Instagram is sort of the hotspot, you know. All the Cool Girls Get Fired is our communal book handle. And then I'm at Laura Brown 99, and Christina is at Christina O'Neill. But we hybridize in all those things quite often. Yeah, stay tuned for next year, where we will hopefully be kind of progressing this platform a little bit further. But at the moment, our priority has been to have a successful book, so, and do everything we can to make that right. So we've been working very hard on that, and by our definition of success has already come true, which is women putting their hands up and saying, this happened to me too, and now I feel cool. You know, that's the best thing we could possibly ever hear.
That's awesome. I love that. All right, send us off with for anyone listening to this who has just gotten fired, had this experience, give them some light at the end of the tunnel.
Gonna be okay.
It's so gonna be okay. You don't even know how okay it's gonna be, honey.
It might be better than okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love it.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.